You've come to the right place. You're in the Fast Lane. Brought to you by Schnucks on 101 ESPN. It's time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey? Here we go.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Chris Ronchi and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by our guy, Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider with The Athletic. How you doing, JR?
Doing well. Talking to you guys, looking out the sliding glass door at my little seven-year-old pitching to my wife. My wife is the catcher here. And Brad, what should I tell him? Any pointers here?
Just keep the ball down for now. Tell him not to worry about the velocity, okay? Let's just throw strikes at the knees. Just try to shoot for the bottom of the knees. He's going to be good to go. And honestly, don't have your wife crouched anywhere near that sliding glass door is probably a good idea, too.
Well, I'm glad I got you because I was out there telling them to throw it hard.
Yeah, just spot up, nice. JR. That's all you got to do.
Hey, JR, you spoke recently with Justin Falk, and you wrote about it at The Athletic. What were some of your main takeaways there?
I think the fact that he was pretty open, and, you call a guy and talk to him for one of the few times. I mean, last year was his first season, and you're kind of in a lot of scrums with the player, but not a lot of one-on-one time, to be quite honest. So you want to write a good, truthful article, a reflection of how he played, and you want to hear it from him. And a lot of times, as you guys know, it's tough to get guys to open up. So I thought he was very thoughtful. I told him that, and you saw in the headline, he said, "I don't think I played very well." That said, he felt like he was gaining some traction towards the end of the season, playing a little bit better, and then the pause occurred. So he's one of the many guys who is eager to resume play and get out there and play like he thinks he can.
JR, how aware of all the noise, and not like it was overwhelming. The Blues were playing so well, it's hard to get mad at one guy and just look at, oh, well, you bring him over, you give him a big contract, he's not living up to it. But there was noise, there was chatter. How aware was he of all of that during the season?
You know, I think he was, and it's interesting that you asked that. You know, I'll give you a little bit of context. You know, people are always interested. How do you ask a player who hasn't performed well about his season, and how do you ask him, does he hear that stuff? And it's not always easy, but you do say, you know, hey, listen, Justin, tough thing coming into a new team. Expectations are high. You get the long contract extension. In your words, you didn't play very well. You know, obviously, you know that the criticism's out there. Are you a guy who does hear that stuff? You know, just what do you think about it? And he said, hey, I'm not a guy who reads Twitter. I don't have notifications on. He said, but I do hear some of it. And I would have thought the same way that they thought. He mentioned in the article that he's a fan of the Minnesota teams. So you have the Twins and the Vikings, and he pays attention to all those guys. And he knows how the fans think about those teams. So he said, look, those are Blues fans who are lovely, you know, following their team, and they see a guy who's underperforming. So I think he was aware of it, but like a lot of guys will tell you, you just can't put a lot of stock into it.
And it can only explain away so much when you say, well, here's a guy who's coming into a new situation. He's really the only new member of the team from last year. Pretty much everybody else is returning except for him. So there is that adjustment period, as you mentioned, but that can only explain away so much. Does he feel like that was the hardest part, or maybe the reason he is where he is now, or where he was, I guess?
Yeah, he was pretty careful because he didn't want to make excuses for, you know, the season that he's had up to this point. But Ronge, you know, he did admit bouncing around the lineup. You know, I looked it up, and he played with seven different defensive partners in the first 2 months of the season. You're talking about a guy who played 22 minutes per game for Carolina, all situations, power play, 5-on-5, against the other team's top players, everything. And that wasn't his role here. So I could hear it in his voice where, you know, he didn't quite want to come out and say it, but he said, yeah, you know, you're trying to find your spot. And then echoing what you said a moment ago, he comes into a team where, you know, he's not one of the Stanley Cup darlings. And so he kind of tries to not be a big personality in the locker room. He said that every time there was a celebration or anything to do with the Stanley Cup, he's just trying to back off and keep his distance. So not only things weren't going well on the ice, but they weren't comfortable in terms of him trying to be one of the guys. And I think that was the biggest thing that I heard from him in trying to describe just why he wasn't able to get as comfortable as he hoped.
Jeremy Rutherford is our Blues insider with The Athletic. He joins us in the Fastlane on 101 at ESPN. JR, the NHL announced today that a total of 26 players have tested positive for COVID-19. That total includes 15 players involved in Phase 2 of the league's return-to-play initiative and another 11 who had been working out away from team facilities. 250-plus players were tested in all. What are some of the important factors that we need to know as hockey fans when you look at this report?
Well, you're still looking at about 5 or 6%. I thought it was good that they included some of the players who aren't participating in Phase 2. We know that that is voluntary, so not everybody, let's just use the Blues, for example, has to be out at the Blues facility if they don't choose to enter Phase 2 yet, and that's the case throughout the league. So you have a situation where the last time the league put out a memo, they said X amount of players have tested positive. Those are the only ones who are actually showing up at the team facilities. But like in St. Louis, some of the Blues were practicing out in Chesterfield. So now they're monitoring some of those players in terms of acknowledging that they've tested positive. So in today's memo, you see that 15 more. You know that those are the numbers. Those numbers are out there. It's just a matter of finding out about those cases. So you know, I don't think anything's really changed in terms of percentage of players in the league that are testing positive. It's still at about that 5 or 6% clip. And, you know, it's just going to get more important as we get closer to the July 10th start for training camp, because these guys are coming into town. They're going to enter Phase 2, and eventually this is going to flip to Phase 3. And just like all sports, we're wondering how many guys is it going to affect, and are they going to be able to play the games with the players they have.
JR, has the confidence wavered at all as to being able to get this thing off the ground? I realize that we do have some time, but July 10th is going to be here before we know it, and hopefully the season starts up again whenever they announce the two cities. But has your confidence varied?
I still think they're going to try, and I think that's what I've been telling you guys for the past few weeks. You know, you see these numbers and you realize that it's real and run into some troubles in terms of the number of positive tests. The one thing in my mind that I think I've heard a lot lately that's maybe different from what I've told you guys in weeks past is not just with the St. Louis Blues, but with teams throughout the league. You know, I'm hearing the players, you know, might not want to play, might not be on board. You know, they're on board from the aspect of they want to get things up and running. And obviously the league and the union want to recoup some of the $1.2 billion that's going to be lost. But I think as we get closer to this training camp date, I'm just hearing more from people I talk to around the league, whether it be the writers that cover the teams who are actually talking to players on those teams. And, you know, I don't know if scared's the word, but they're just asking themselves, is this really worth it?
Well, here's the other end of this. In order for any leagues to work, a few things have to happen. First of all, I am a firm believer that all of us need to be very careful and do the stuff we're supposed to do, like wear the masks when you're out and the distancing and all that stuff, because that affects the markets these teams are going to have to play in, which in turn affects the players. And the other part is the players themselves, if they're going to sign up for it, they have to buy in, which means they can't be going out to bars and stuff if bars are open wherever they are. Do you think it's going to be difficult for hockey players to buy in and do what they need to do to make sure nobody catches anything and they can keep a season going?
You want to say yes, but the skeptic in me says that, yes, it is going to be tough. And you've seen some of the baseball players today already opt out and say that they're not going to play. We haven't heard that with any of the hockey players yet. You know, I imagine there might be a couple, I don't know, but they are going to have to make a commitment, just like the players in baseball and basketball are within the bubbles. And I think that they're still negotiating that, and they're still trying to figure out, you know, are the families going to be permitted inside the bubble? Are they going to be able to travel to these hub cities? We're still waiting for that information to be released. But if it comes down to all these players are going to be confined to a restricted area within these two hub cities, and they're not going to be able to go out and do some things, I think that is going to be tough for some of these players to deal with, and it's just going to come down to discipline.
Jared, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep, thanks a lot, guys.
That's Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider with The Athletic here on 101 ESPN with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. He was realistic about that at the end there. He'd like to think that these players will do the right thing, quote unquote, and not go out and realize that there's a bigger picture here. But we are talking about human beings.
I know. And I got to tell you, I think I'd be pretty pissed off if these players said, yes, I sign up for this. I'm going to do this, whatever it takes. And then they don't live up to it in the 2 months or however long it takes to get everything finished. And they end up causing an outbreak because they were like, you know what, I need to get out. So I'm going to go do whatever I feel like doing. That would piss me off, I think, a lot. Either you sign up for it or you don't. And then you follow the rules or you don't sign up for it. It's that simple.
Make the bubble awesome, then.
Make the bubble awesome.
Make them not want to leave.
Right.
Like NBA, they got all kinds of activities for them.
Just put video games in there. That's all these kids do these days.
Kids love video games.
That's all they do. Play these video games.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Yep. We will wrap up the show, tell you what we learned. Next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.